Testing 1, 2, 3. We love Millie. Yes, indeed.
Now you need more light. You just send that up there like that.
I need lots of light. Before I begin, I have to share something with you. I think most of you all know what a God story is, and I had one happen last night, but I just have to share with everyone. Went to class last night, and after class we were walking outside, and I was talking with Millie and Spencer, and somehow the conversation got on the notion that Millie had driven all these years and never had an accident, and that somehow perhaps God was watching over her. Well, at 10:45, I kind of listened with one ear and ignored it with the other, thinking, you know, God, Millie can make a God story out of the phone book. So I didn't put a whole lot of, and I was thinking, you know, well, I've gone 25, 30 years without any kind of accident or anything. So it's no big deal. I'm driving down 15, heading home. I'm in one lane, there's a car in another lane. All of a sudden, we're going 65, 70 miles an hour. All of a sudden, a car pulled in between those two. At 70 miles an hour, I figured I was standing still compared to how fast we touched. We touched like a fork, very lightly, like a fork touching a spoon. The metal of my car touched his car, and he kept going. And the more I thought about that, I thought,
God, there, Christian.
And I think God was saying, you know, George, a little too cocky here, kid. You know, just to let you know, I'm here. What I want to talk to you about tonight is something that means a lot to me. And that is, we talk a lot in our church about spiritual development. And I'd like to spend a few minutes trying to understand a little bit about what this term really means. But I'll give you an idea of what it now means to me. I always want to look up, stand up, and never, never give up. But first I want to tell you about a little bit of a comedy, TV comedy show I saw recently that got me to thinking. A family of four, mom, dad, and their teenage son and daughter, were putting out Chinese food in those little carry-home containers on the dining room table. When everyone sat down to eat, the dad turned to his son and asked if he would first say a prayer. The teenager turned to him and, totally shocked by his father's words, glared back and said, "Dad, we can't say grace, it's takeout." Welcome to contemporary religion in America. Just like everything else in life, people have even compartmentalized God. We put our work over here, our friends over there, our husbands and wives over here, our kids in their rooms to play video games, and God is in a box reserved for special occasions. Many Americans look to God only on Sundays in church and on Christmas and Easter, if at all, and say grace before their Norman Rockwell family dinners on Thanksgiving Day. Because we do compartmentalize just about everything, I really have serious doubts as to whether or not there is much of a connection between God and much of religion as we know it, as bizarre as this sounds. If there was more of one, there would be less hatred, violence, and war. Politicians who want to be president say they are more Christian than the next guy. But no matter who is in office, 20% of our children go to bed hungry at night. Thousands of homeless are on the streets because a country with an annual gross national product of $11 trillion says it doesn't have enough money to lift up all of our people. We have, as a nation, put them in the box of being not very important. One by one, God-fearing televangelists fall from grace from their pompous pulpits. Their sexuality doesn't fit their preaching, or they're lining their pockets with the money their flocks have given them to do God's work. With mansions, hotels, cars, and recently a large university in Oklahoma, and trips to the Bahamas. These people have created the box of making God in their own image rather than the other way around. But don't take my word for it. Listen to that great philosopher at times, George Carlin. Get serious about our state of affairs. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment. More experts, yet more problems, more medicine, but less wellness. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've been all the way to the moon and back and have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We've conquered outer space but not inner space. We've done larger things but not better things. We've conquered the atom but not our prejudice. We write more but learn less. We plan more but accomplish less. We've cleaned up the air but polluted our soul. This is so true in so many places. Little separate complicated boxes for everything. And way too much of everything in our material world is disconnected as a result. Until that is, you come to our little church, where I so believe that sanity prevails. This church is a sanctuary from the madness and the chaos. It is devoted to the pureness, wonder, and majesty of God, Spirit, our God force. This church is not about man's doing, but God's doing. God in this church is not in a box. God is not a TV show, a bumper sticker, a slogan, or something you wear on your sleeve. Rather, God is something you wear in your heart. In the words of our Reverend Millie, God is love, kids. God is love. You don't have to go looking for it. You certainly can't hide from God, even if you put your head under a pillow. God is always there. God is love. Anyone ever heard anyone here say anything like that? But while she says this, and that's all there is to it, she has a few surprises in store just to make sure you get it down to your socks. They're called spiritual development classes. Now, I started my classes in the middle of last year, and this is my second year, which has really only just begun. And for those of you who have never been, well, leave your boxes at home. Because you're going to be so totally filled up with God, so completely feel the love and wonder that it will touch you from the tips of your toes till the love comes pouring out of your head. And if you doubt me, I had a full head of hair up until a year ago. And some of you have heard me refer to those classes as Tuesday nights when the lights go on. When the lights go off, the light goes on, and God's Spirit comes in. But Millie, unbeknownst to her, threw me off this year. She came up to me a month or so before classes began and said, "George, you're really going to enjoy class this year more than last." I smiled and thanked her, but I got to thinking, wait a minute, why am I going to enjoy class this year more than last year? Have I changed? Has something else changed? Does this mean if I go for 3 years, I'm going to get more out of it? What about 5 years? I'd never truly thought about it before. What is it that is getting developed here? We know that God's Spirit doesn't need developed. She kind of created it all. So it must be us. But what exactly is in us that is being developed? If you look at this church, it is at first glance about mediumship, about bringing God and the angels closer to us and through us for an abundant number of wonderful reasons. But as Millie always points out, we have to be careful with this word. We're not talking about psychic development here, rather spiritual development. As I learn more about the church and its growth, there is a long and rich history tied to this form of spiritual development, spiritualism, that is evident even in the Bible. In short, it is not a gimmick. It isn't smoke and mirrors and trips to fantasy land. Disneyland is 2 hours away up Highway 5. Mediumship is something that is quite sacred, beautiful, and profound. But mediumship, nonetheless, is a highly charged word. You know this is true when you just try to describe your church to people outside of it. You try to explain a little to those who ask, and oftentimes they'll look back at you and say, "Oh, isn't that special?" And they nervously look to change the subject. But for me, I have a very simple take on what mediumship really means. Mediumship, above all else, is a direct connection with God. Period. And the more you practice it, the more love that you feel. The more you develop this connection, the more all the little boxes in your head evaporate until you can live your life as a complete human being. What I love about this church more than anything is how simple it is, because it all hinges around a single profound concept of connecting with God one-on-one. It is not an abstraction. It is not transcribed in any dogma. It is about the feeling, the presence of God, of Spirit, of walking in His grace, of cherishing the moment when you know that you know that you know. It is quite simply the greatest feeling in the world, especially because God is love, kids. Pure and simple, God is love. And once you begin to connect with God, you begin to change. I know because I have. You see the world as a more beautiful place. And what you have always seen begins to expand greatly. Where you once may have lived in a closed, narrow little box like a small empty room, the shutters suddenly fly open and there are oceans, the sun, the moon, and the stars, eagles in the Grand Canyon, and God and the angels. Everything and everyone in our world are beautifully connected. We are one. You now get it when you hear that the word universe actually means one song. And joy to the world is no longer a phrase in a Christmas carol. It is a feeling that you can carry with you 365 days a year. Take it from someone who hasn't always had a lot of joy in his life. This is the miracle of this church. To know that you know that you know is to know love, feel love, give love, and be loved. I now believe that what goes on in this church is really the norm as God intends rather than the exception. Many years ago, I was writing a story about a special Indian tribe in Arizona. I found myself in the middle of Monument Valley one night where many of the Navajos live, and which is one of the most beautiful places on earth. At the time, my heart and mind were about as far away from God as you could possibly be, but I could feel the presence of spirit in that sacred but isolated place away from all the amenities of modern life. At that time, it was so powerful and strong for me that it was a little scary because I could actually feel it, and I had no idea what it was. I have also a very special connection with the Big Island of Hawaii. I went there many years ago on a work project. I stepped onto the Big Island in the town of Kona, and for the 4 days I was there, it was a constant sense of deja vu. Virtually every moment I sensed that I had been there before. I could feel the presence of spirit all around me all of the time. Only where my head was back then, I didn't have a clue. In my compartmentalized little brain, where I just knew that I had everything figured out in all my little boxes, there simply wasn't room for something so big and wondrous and complete. But what I felt was powerful and strong and omnipotent, and I now know it was my beginning. I've come to believe that so much of our material world has crushed our propensity to find God wherever we are. We see the world through our closed-off, judgmental little boxes, which have been shaped by our past and present experiences and the pain that we have endured in our lives. We're going so fast, so caught up in our lives, that we cannot see that God is everywhere, especially inside of us. But what Monument Valley and Kona and this church, and especially Reverend Milley, have taught me is that God is everywhere. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So mediumship isn't different or unusual at all. It's really the natural order of things. It's the God and the angels letting us know that we are not alone, that we are all part of something so much greater than even we can imagine. And this is exactly how our lives are supposed to be. So what does all this mean? What are we developing here in church on Sundays, Wednesday night forums, Tuesday and Thursday nights? If God is love, then spiritual development means that we are developing our hearts. As another very wise and wonderful soul who is part of this church said to me recently, by opening our hearts, we are peeling back the layers to reveal who we truly are. We are developing our hearts, our souls, our level of consciousness, so that we can connect with God once more and feel loved. We have also grown to understand along the way, as Noe says, that we are all little bubbles of God. Actually, some of us are rather big bubbles. But what we are doing is opening our hearts with love to reestablish our connection to Spirit, where we all come from and we will all return again. We have to relearn that we are all part of God, and for some of us, this has been and is a lifetime lesson. We have to learn, as one philosopher says, that we are not human beings on a spiritual journey, rather we are spiritual beings on a human journey. In closing, I want to share with you a story about something that I saw that touched me deeply and goes to my core about spiritual development. About a year ago, I was watching the induction of a great football player to the National Football League Hall of Fame on TV. His name is Michael Irvin. He was a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s. He had 11 consecutive 100-yard seasons, played on 3 Super Bowl teams, and is considered to be one of the greats of all time. But Michael had another side. When he wasn't on the football field, he was playing around everywhere else. He not only walked on the wild side, he pitched a tent there and hung out a shingle. Michael Irvin and I had a lot in common in our youth, but it wasn't football. He was in a lot of pain when he did what he did, and I was too. But he has gone through much of it now and risen above it. His induction speech was a testament to his knowledge of and love of Spirit when he finally put all of his boxes down and spoke from his heart. In part, this is what he said. Above all, I want to thank our Father for being here. You know, the Bible speaks of a healing place. It's called the threshing floor. The threshing floor is where you take your greatest fear and pray for help from your great God. I want to share something with you today. I have two sons, Michael and Elijah, and they are here with me tonight. That's my heart right there. That's my heart. I was drawn to Michael's story because of my earlier life, and because I also have two sons, Jeffrey and Ben, given to me by my wife, Mary Ellen, who is with me here tonight. And like Michael, my sons are my heart. Only they are the football and baseball players, not me. They are my heroes and my champions. At any rate, Michael continued, when I am on the threshing floor, I pray. I say, God, I have my struggles and I have made some bad decisions in my life, but whatever you do, please don't let me mess this up. Don't let me mess up raising these boys. I say, please help me raise them for some young lady so that they can be a better husband than I. Help me raise them for their kids so that they would be a better father than I. And I tell you guys to always do the right thing so you can be a better role model than I. Michael had attended a ceremony the year before when many of his friends had been inducted into the hall, and he wasn't. Some say it was because of all the troubles that he had caused off of the field. But then he went on to say, so when I returned home last year, I spoke with Michael and Elijah. My son asked, he said, Dad, do you think we will ever be there? And I didn't know how to answer that. And it returned to me to that threshing floor. This time I was voiceless, but my heart cried out. God, why must I go through so many peaks and valleys? I wanted to stand in front of my boys and say, do it like your dad, like any proud dad would want to say. God, why must I go through so much? At that moment, though, a voice came over me and said, look up, stand up, and don't ever give up. At that moment for me, Michael Irvin, this great football player, this rogue of a man who had lived on the wild side, who had done some bad things, got it. He summed up what I believe spiritual development is all about. He said, you tell everyone, or anyone who has ever doubted, thought that he did not measure up or wanted to quit, you tell them to look up, stand up, and don't ever give up. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Oh, honey, aren't you proud of your husband?
Yes.
Wow. You know some of the things he said in there. How'd you like that, David? David, did you like that? That was good, wasn't it, honey? Wow. Okay, guys. God sure sent a lot of angels down here to earth, don't you think, Barb? Who's here for the very first time? Let Barbara find you. Here she comes.